Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station in Madison and North Florida. And those of you joining us by computer on the World Wide Web, we welcome you today. And we pray if you're a first-time listener, you will stay tuned. And we're going to go to God's Word in just a few moments. And we're going to bring the message today in this devotional from the Word of God. Something solid and steadfast. Amen. The Bible says of itself that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will abide forever. Ever. Praise God. So we want to get into something today that is not subject to change and something that is not shaken, no matter what kind of global, national, or personal events transpire that bring us to a crisis in our life. We can depend on the sure promises of God if you're a Christian. And by the way, friend, if you're not a Christian today, before this broadcast is over, you can respond to an invitation, not just given by me at the end of this broadcast, but given by the Holy Spirit Himself to you to come to Christ, be saved, and get this kind of peace and power in your life. Praise the Lord. He'll seal you for heaven, and He will promise to never leave you nor forsake you in your journey on the way there through this fallen world. Praise God. This is a win-win, and you can't go wrong if you come to Jesus. Hallelujah. So please stay tuned today. We would give you our website before we go to the Word of God today. If you would like to come and visit, we would be so happy if you did. The sermons that span the years are there, and recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus are up on that website. Just type in THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God. We are an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International, in good standing since 1974. That's when I became the pastor. And if my math is correct, it's been about 37 years this month. So God has been good. He's brought us a long way. He's kept His promise. He's proved Himself over and over and over again. I would declare His truth just because the Bible says it. But when you add all of these years of walking it out and watching God perform His Word, it gives me great confidence and consolation today to bring a message to you from God's Word. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you'd like to come, type in THCOG. It would take you to the Holy Church of God. Just Google that, and you know that if you're listening by computer, what that means. And it'll bring you right to our website. And anything that would be a blessing to you, you can sign up for podcast and download to an MP3 player, iPod. And as long as you don't charge for any of these materials, you are free to use them anywhere to help anyone that you feel it would be a blessing to. We're grateful today to be on the World Wide Web on WMAF. Praise God. Amen. We're going to talk about a subject today, literally, trusting God no matter what. Trusting God no matter what. Amen. A very simple statement, a simple topic heading, but I believe everyone understands how important it is that we find comfort as Christians in times of crisis. Whether the crisis is global, national, or personal, we have a good God that we can turn to. We are living prophetically in what the Bible calls perilous times. The scripture said in the last days, perilous times would come. And it literally means catastrophic, fearful times filled with uncertainty and anxiety. And it's crucial that we develop a genuine faith that will set us apart from the world about us. And the simple reason that we can have comfort in times of crisis is because God is our refuge. I'm going to say something today. I've said it so many times. The Psalms declares that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. literally that word strong tower means high above, or safe rather, means high above evil, beyond the reach of enemies who want to do us harm, because we're being kept by the power of God. And when we run to God, make no mistake about it, we're not running from the devil. Amen. This is not a weak thing that we do. This is a wise thing that we do. Amen. So, I want you to hear a message today out of Psalm 46. If there's ever a psalm that identifies God as our refuge and encourages us to turn to Him, look to Him, and trust in Him in the time of trouble, it's Psalm 46. I want you to listen to it carefully today. It said, "Our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah." Amen. And it goes on. I'm going to continue reading verse 8 through 11. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. It's interesting to me that Psalm 46 was written at a time of national crisis in Israel. It was quoted also in the congressional prayer meeting by Billy Graham. He read it during his sermon at the National Cathedral. Martin Luther, the great reformer, wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and he based it upon his study of this psalm. Listen to this stanza. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. A mighty fortress is our God." The first thing, principle, I want to bring forth today to share with you is that God's presence is our refuge. I'm going to read that again. First three verses of this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Verse 1 declares, God is our refuge, strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Literally, the Hebrew word for trouble refers to a tight place. Sometimes we speak of trouble as being between a rock and a hard place, or being in a tight. That's exactly the represented word here. It means when the world is pressing in on you, when circumstances are strangling you, when you feel helpless and you literally feel alone. God's presence, friend, is our refuge. Praise the Lord. When we're in trouble, we're to remember then two truths about God. First, He's our refuge and strength. And refuge carries the idea of shelter. If you've ever been outside in a storm and caught in that storm, the first thing you want is to seek shelter. I would suggest as summer comes back after this cold winter is over that if you're on a golf course and I don't play golf, but I've heard of close calls and even people being struck by lightning on a golf course because they're out in the middle of the open space and there's no shelter. And I would suggest that you start looking for shelter. I know that I would. We want shelter in the time of storm. We want shelter in the time of trouble. Augustus Toplady in 1775 talked about his faith in God in the storms of life. And while traveling from one town to another, he was caught in a violent thunderstorm. While finding refuge between two great rocks, he penned the words of the great hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Psalm 61:4 says, "I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." Doesn't mean that God has big wings. It does mean that God is our shelter and our refuge to strengthen us when trouble comes. It means that He covers us with His Spirit. Praise God. Second, God is a very present help. Not only is He a refuge, He's present with us. When we're in the midst of troubling times, present help literally translates speedy aid. God is always present and quick to come to our aid when things get rough and we trust in Him. Years ago, the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, and I quote him, "He never withdraws Himself from His afflicted. He is their help, truly, effectually, constantly. He is present or near them, close at their side, and ready for their succor." And this is emphasized by the word "very" in our version. He is more present than a friend or relative can be, yea, more nearly present than even the trouble itself. I like that God is even closer to me than the trouble that feels like it's about to overwhelm me. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is not only a refuge and a very present help. The Bible also says that He is our shield. Psalm 3:3 declares, "But You, O Lord, are the shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." God sometimes shields us from trouble, and sometimes He delivers His people through trouble. Sometimes He sends our troubles away before we even know them. He refuses to let troubles even enter our life. It would stagger us to know how much trouble God has shielded us from and protected us from. On the other hand, God sometimes allows us to face struggles, trials, and tight places so He can teach us to rely on Him for deliverance, so that we can learn that He indeed is our true, authentic, and only refuge. I'll tell you what God does today. God turns our tests into testimonies if we keep our trust in Him. Someone has said it this way: sometimes God calms the storm for His people. Other times, He calms His people for the storm. How does He do that, Pastor? Well, He speaks sometimes to the storm and calms the troubled sea, as Jesus did on occasion in the New Testament. But other times, the winds blow and the waves and billows get even worse after prayer. But God, through prayer, putting our trust in Him, acknowledging His control, absolute sovereign control over the universe, this world, and our life, peace, deep peace, comes within. So if the storm doesn't immediately stop without after you pray, if that peace of having the storm cease doesn't come, know that God certainly will stop the storm within that the storm without created, and you can know peace deep down in your soul. Praise God. In verse 2 and 3, we see that because God's continual presence is our refuge, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The earth and the mountains are symbols of stability. I mean, the earth itself and the great mountain ranges. What is more stable than the earth below our feet? We always take it for granted until an earthquake shakes it a little bit. What is more solid than the mountains? We don't ever expect the earth to move. It's solid and permanent. We can't in our wildest imagination dream of the great Rocky Mountains or the great Smoky Mountains crumbling to dust and rolling down to the Pacific Ocean. Yet we've seen many things in our lives that seem so stable become suddenly unstable. What do we do when our stability is shattered? The common response is panic, crimson red fear. But the Bible response is found in the beginning of verse 2. Because God is our refuge, because He is our ever very present help, therefore we will not fear. You know, the only way not to fear is just not to fear. The only way not to fear is to look to God, trust in God, and have His peace replace that fear in our life. And it's called a peace in the New Testament that passes understanding. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, this fallen world, you as a Christian, in this world, you shall have tribulation. The Greek word is thelpsis, T-H-E-L-P hyphen S-I-S, for the purpose of pronunciation. Thelpsis. And it means anguish, pressure, something that presses in on us, that makes us feel anxious and literally fearful, and causes us to worry and be hurt deep inside. The pressure of living in a faulty body in a fallen world. And yet Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You say, well, preacher, how's that relevant to me? Listen, because He conquered the devil, He conquered death, He conquered the grave, and He conquered this world system. And He is the one that leads the way and asks us to follow Him. In His life of trust in His Father, He found peace and power for every circumstance of life. And now He says, I have robbed it of power to harm you. Follow me, and I will lead you in triumph. I will lead you to victory. I will take you through this sin-darkened world in spite of your weaknesses, your fallacies. I will bring you through. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And in the Greek, it's emphatic. It reads this way, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to read another scripture, if you will, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 45 through 52. Here we find an account of Jesus sending the disciples out in the midst of a storm, on a storm-tossed sea. And they're in a small boat in the middle of the great storm, and the disciples are panicking, and Jesus comes to them walking on the waves. At first they fear, and even more because they think He's a ghost. He comforts them by saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. He goes up into the boat with them and He calms the storm. And I don't have time to read it all, but let me conclude with verse 51. And they were greatly amazed in themselves, beyond measure, and marveled. Praise God. I'm telling you, when God speaks to the storm in your life, and you see His mighty power and sovereignty expressed, and when He takes everything, the good, bad, and the ugly, He subdues it to Himself and to His eternal purposes. Amen. And He brings good out of bad. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that wonderful scripture in Romans 8:28. Amen. Praise God, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's got to be a deep, settled knowledge that even in the time of seeming chaos and crisis, our God is our refuge. We can look to Him in simple, childlike trust and find peace and power for the circumstance that we are facing. And when that peace comes in your heart, you'll be greatly amazed beyond measure and marvel. And peace that passes understanding is exactly that. The old timers put it this way, it's better felt than tell. I can sit here all day, even from Scripture, and theologically and intellectually try to explain this to you. But until you have experienced it, you can't imagine what it feels like, what happens when God speaks to the storm in your life that fear has created. And He says, peace, be still. He went on to say, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. See, it's a different peace. It's not the peace that is defined in your brief explanation in a dictionary. Mr. Webster would say it's the cessation of wars. When all the wars stop, you have peace. It's the resolving of conflicts. It's when nothing is conflicting and all things are smooth sailing and all is well. Well, friend, you can't live in a fallen world and find that kind of peace. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter if you're a powerful world leader, if you're a famous entertainer, if you're filled with riches beyond comprehension. You can't buy the peace that only Christ can give. It's not for sale in the marketplace for any price anywhere in the universe. Praise God, you can't ship it in from the distant planets. If you had the money and the wherewithal, it's not out there. It's in Him. Hallelujah. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. I can't explain all that to you, but I can tell you that God promised it, and I can tell you that I have experienced it and continue to experience it in my life. There's nothing like it. I understand those verses. They were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. All because God is our refuge. God is our strength. We can't give the credit to our faith because our faith is in Him. Without Him, we're nothing. John 15 said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Praise God. But then Paul said, because of his abiding in Christ, you know what he said? I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what that means? It literally means not that I can do, you know, there's a gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, the mighty gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of knowledge. I mean, so many wonderful gifts that God grants us. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about walking the water. He's not talking about that. He's talking about living in a faulty body in a fallen world where the promise is given that in this fallen world, we're going to have Thelpsis tribulation. But he says literally, I can do all things means I am equal to it. God grants the grace. He grants the peace. He grants the strength. Because when those crisis times come, those persecutions come, those problems come, those events that shake us like the earth itself is giving way under our feet and the mountains are crumbling to the sea. He said, I'm equal to it. One way and one way only is because Jesus Christ strengthens me. His presence is here within me. And I'm not alone in my struggles. I'm not alone in my heartbreak. I'm not alone in the challenges of life. He's keeping His promise to never leave me and never forsake me. He sent His Spirit to abide with me forever. And I'm not walking this out alone. In fact, He said, I'm so dependent on Him and so surrendered to Him that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He went on to say, it's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Praise God. Amen. It is a place of dependence, not because we are weak in the sense of not being manly or mature. No, no. We understand that our true strength is in God. We don't run from trouble, but when trouble comes, we run to God. It's not a weak thing. It's a wise thing. Someone said, Preacher, religion is just a crutch for weak people. Let me tell you something. Alcoholism is at an all-time high. Drug abuse is pervasive in America. People are shooting up, toking up, and drinking up, trying to cope. They're using the crutches of fame and fortune to try to fill that gap that sin has created between us and our God. We were not designed to make it on our own. We were not designed to stand on our own two feet and lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We were designed to live in dependence upon God's strength, God's support, God's loving embrace, God's provision, and God's protection in this fallen world. And God wants us to exhibit our faith by learning to lean on Him. If religion, interpreted as faith in Jesus Christ, not man's made ritualistic stuff, but a real, genuine relationship with God and with Christ, if that is a crutch, give me two of them. I need that support in my life. I've tried the other stuff. I was lost before I got saved. I sought through sin the things that I have found so rich and real in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm weak, then fine. Put that label on me. If in my weakness, I'm wise enough to know I need a refuge, and I need one to support me, and I know Him, and I love Him, and I serve Him. Hallelujah. My God is a refuge, amen, a strong tower, and I run to Him. Praise the Lord. And He has never failed to support me and to help me. I've just celebrated, or getting ready to celebrate, the 64th birthday, the 20th of this month. I came to Christ just after my 12th birthday fell away. Came back to Him in a full-blown, born-again, dedicated experience at 21 years of age. And I have never quit serving Him all of these years. I need Him. I love Him. And there's no one like Him. And today I would invite you. I don't know what your crutch is, but you have a crutch. You've got something or someone that you're leaning on. God says, I want you to transfer that trust to me. I want you to come to me. Bring your sins, your faults, your failures, your hang-ups, your habits. Bring them to me. Lay them at the foot of Calvary. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior so that God can father you. And you can say of the Lord what David did. No matter what the crisis, no matter how weakened I am by it, God is my refuge. God is my strength. He is a present help in the time of trouble. Would you pray right now? Would you ask Jesus to come into your heart today and make God your refuge? We're not done with the teaching here, because Christians today need to know how to trust in the Lord, to know how to lean on Him, to know how to, no matter how weak we are, to find sustaining strength in His grace, His mercy, and the promise of His presence. He's a present help because He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We love you today so very much. Ask Him into your heart if you don't know Him right now, right where you are, and watch your life change from this very moment. You won't have to give up much, friend. It's stuff you just won't need anymore. Jesus will take the place of that habit. Take the place. Amen. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.